It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want to read you a verse out of Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise and praise him with songs of praise. Are you ready to praise this morning? Amen. Let's start off with come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him all the praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart and give him praise. And give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. And your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. And give glory and honor and power unto him. Jesus, the name above all names. Sing it again. Oh, come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Give him praise and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Your voice is raised. Your voice is raised. And give glory and honor and power unto him. Jesus, the name above all names. And sing, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, for he hath done great things. Oh, yes, he hath done great things. Sing, oh, he hath done great names. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the floodgate that all may go in. Sing praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. If you're able, will you stand on this last verse as we sing, great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Sing with me this morning. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we sing. Oh, sing, praise the Lord, yes, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Sing, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he hath done.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son and give him the glory. Great things he has done.
Amen. Thank you for your good singing. You may be seated.
Amen. Give the Lord a big praise this morning. Let's give the Lord praise today. Amen. Jesus, the song says, let the people rejoice. I'm on here. I'm not on there. Can you hear me anyway? I'm just going to keep talking. And Steve will help me out a little bit with that. Well, good morning, church. Man, I am excited. My motor is running this morning after those couple of songs and you guys singing and just rejoicing in the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we've been praising him in song and just walking around this morning, people talking about the goodness of God. The Lord is in the house. When the Lord is in the house, get excited. Whatever you need, when he passes by, just reach out and touch him. Amen. I want to take a moment today just to welcome any new friends that are with us. We have this little thing that we do here at Nettles Island Church and welcoming our new friends. If today's your very first time, not been here to Nettles Church before, we are so thankful and so glad that you came. Maybe you were invited by a neighbor or a friend, or maybe you saw something somewhere or heard about us, but you're here today. And so thank you for coming and joining us. And we have a little promise book that has the promises of God at fingertip touch, and that's available to you. We give those to our new first-time friends, and I will be at the back at the information desk, back right corner. You're sitting there looking at me at your left side right now, but when you get up to leave and you're looking at the back corner. Come by and see me and take a free little booklet and shake my hand. Let me welcome you personally to Nettles Island Church. Good to be here. Good to see all of you that are coming in from all the cold northern states. Some of you, this is your first week back. We're glad you're here. I guess you brought a little bit of that cold with you this week, right? But we'll take it. It's a little bit of a change and a transition. Well, a couple of announcements this morning, and I don't want to hit all these. I'm not going to read you the announcements, but I want to highlight a couple of them. I want to say, first of all, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I delivered for this church in the back of my pickup on Monday last week 74 boxes for Operation Christmas Child. This church is amazing. You're amazing. Oh, and I'll tell you what, we had church when I dropped them off at the First United Methodist in Stewart. In fact, a lady in charge comes here and sings. She's part of the group that sings with some of you guys. What was her first name? Val was there, and she said, I know you. And I said, I know you, but I can't place you. And she said, I go to your church and sing once in a while. She's in charge. We had a prayer meeting over those boxes. Every one of those boxes was just anointed with prayer that God would touch a little boy or girl and that they would receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. One day when we stand in heaven, somebody's going to come up and tug on your coat or on your whatever we wear in heaven, our robe, and they're going to say, you sent a box through Operation Christmas Child, and now I got saved, and I'm in heaven today because of you. And there's going to be great rejoicing. So thank you. 74 boxes. I love that. I want to mention today, Christmas in the Round. We still need help. That's Christmas in the Round, for those of you that, most of you know that this, but it's the Christmas little parade thing. And we've been in the parade the last couple years, but we need some help. We need some folks that'll decorate a float. We need some folks that'll be Joseph. I think we have Joseph and Mary. We could use a couple of shepherds maybe. And we need some folks to do that. And we need some folks that will help us in the decoration and in maybe the costuming of that. And so there's a sign-up sheet on the information desk and on the table by the elevator doors going out. If that's something that you would like to help us with, we would really appreciate it. Get signed up. Next thing I want to mention, and it's in there, and all the information is there, and Kim's here today, and it's good to see Kim.
with us, and so we want to bless them. They have family here, and they've got a little one that needs to borrow a high chair for the next week or so. So if you have somebody that you know, or you've got a high chair in storage somewhere that you've saved all these years, they need a high chair. Their phone number is right there in the back of the bulletin. You can contact Gay Cates, or you can go directly to Kim, who I talked with this morning, is down here, and you can let them know. But really work hard on that. They need that high chair, and so if we can help them out and loan them one for a week or so, that would be just wonderful. I want to say Jim Whittles asked me to give a thank you to all of you. He had a big procedure with his heart this week, was in the hospital. He's here today, and Jim wanted for me to say thank you to all of you for your prayers and trusting God with him. God is faithful and came through, and he's doing great. So praise God. Praise God for prayer and God working that out. And let's see if there's anything else. I know one other thing is I found out this morning that Bart and Donna are having a 62nd wedding anniversary today. They could have gone out for breakfast, but they came to church to be with us. God bless you guys. Just wave at us, everybody. There they are right there. Happy anniversary to you guys today. God bless you so very, very much. And that is just so wonderful. Let's see. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and I want you just to turn to somebody left or right. The choir's going to come and get ready to minister. So choir, come on and get set up. And would you take a moment as they're doing that and welcome one another before you're seated? Amen. Well, you may take your seat as the choir brings us a special this morning. Amen. Let's find our seats this morning as the choir sings for us.
Your life, and if you just like to lift a hand to the Lord and say, God, remember me. You know my heart, my need today. I've got a burden. Just lift it up. He'll see it. We're going to just pray collectively over that. But in your bulletin, you can see today we're praying for Sandy Bowden. Praying for little Nora Rose Deer. That's Cindy and my granddaughter. And just found out yesterday that Sue Drenth went home to the Lord to be with the Lord and talked to Don on the phone, had a chance to pray with him. And you can imagine the grief that he's feeling. And, you know, I just think about all that have lost a loved one this past year. And this is the first Thanksgiving coming. And we're going to just remember all of you that have lost a spouse or a parent or a loved one. I'm going to just remember all of you today that God will bring comfort, that you'll still have thanksgiving in your heart because of Jesus as we come into this week and this season. We want to pray for a little boy in Michigan that was brought to my attention this morning. His name is Lincoln. They just found out he's got a tumor in the brain cancer. Little guy. Needs a touch of God. We want to pray this morning for the families of those two deputies in Palm Beach County that were hit and lost their lives. One was Ralph, but he went by Butch Waller, 18 years with Palm Beach County. And then Corporal Luis Paez, both of those motor officers died from the crash. And then the third is Dan Diaz, and he's, as far as I know, still in critical condition. Those are guys I worked with I knew those men. We shared ministry, well, working together. I was going to say ministry, but I guess it was ministry and protecting presidents with our motors. And it's tragic. And that reminds us that nobody's guaranteed it tomorrow. We don't know if we'll have another day. We hope so. We plan to. But we don't know what's in store and how life goes. And so we always want to be ready. So be ready. Make sure today that your heart is where it needs to be with the Lord. You've never given your heart to Him. Give it to Him today. Just say, Lord, I need You. Forgive me and save me. He will. He will. Lots to pray about. But God's bigger than every one of these burdens and every one of these needs. So let's pray. Join me in your faith as I lead us in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You that in the presence of Almighty God, there's healing, there's victory, there's peace, there's joy, there's hope, there's power. There are answers. The world may say, and the medical profession, when it's a medical need, may say, I don't know what to do to help You. But God, when we come to You, there's never a hopelessness. There's a sense of hope. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that as we bring all of these needs and burdens before Your throne, as we lift them up to You today, Lord, those that were mentioned by the raising of hands across this room, God, You know the hearts, You know the circumstances, You know the problems and the traumas and the difficulties. And Lord, I pray today that the power of God would begin to flow into hearts and lives and increase our ability to hope and trust in faith. That God, You've got this and You're going to work it out. Maybe we prayed last week, hasn't happened yet, but God, You said to keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, and the door will be opened. So we know that You're going to open that door. You're going to answer that prayer. You're going to move in our lives. We just have to stay firm in our trust in You. So Lord, we lift up today Sandy and Dawn and Nora, the families of those deputies that died this week and the one that is in critical but stable condition. God, we just lift them up. We lift up little Lincoln today. I lift up all the families that are coming to their first Thanksgiving, Lord, without a loved one that will be present. The heart that's aching today, God, You need to lift that heart up, and You're faithful to do it. You're the God who takes the brokenness of our hearts and You mend it back together in the presence of Jehovah. There's a mending, there's a healing, there's a restoring, there's a sense of hope that comes in. And Father, we're thankful today that we have heaven. We're thankful today that we don't have to say goodbye. It's just until we see them again. But that doesn't take away some of the hurt and the pain. So God, encourage hearts today. God, You'll see every tear. You'll see every heartbreak. And God, You'll put Your arms around these loved ones that are here and You'll just comfort them and let them know that You're going to stand by them and with them and bring them through this season. Nothing's too hard for You. Father, I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for their prayers and their faith and their trust in You and their unity. For if even two would agree on touching anything, Your word says it'll be done. And Lord, there's so many here today and we agree together. We give You all the praise. We thank You, Lord, for listening and hearing. And not just that, but being active through the Holy Spirit to work out the situations on our behalf. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as you can see, I have some help this morning. And it's so nice to have my wife and her sisters here with us this morning. You know Jessica. I don't know where they're at here. Jessica. And this is her younger sister, Jerusha. And then the younger sister, Jacinda. And Jacinda is from Alabama, and she got to our house at 8 o'clock last night, and I made her start practicing. So you can give her a pat on the back later. But it's such a joy to have them here this morning. And during this time of Thanksgiving, one of the things that I can think of that we should be so internally grateful for is the faithfulness of God in our lives. Amen. Has He been faithful to you this morning? Amen. All my life he has been faithful. But we're going to sing, the girls are going to sing an old hymn that I'm sure you all know, and I want you to sing out with them. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing this together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be.
You all on this spot this morning. I want to hear the congregation sing that without the music this morning, that chorus. Sing with me. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. And all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen.
Sing this morning. All my life you have been faithful. In all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. 'Cause all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
the goodness.
One more time.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Yes, you have.
Because all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm going to sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks. For all you've done, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks. Oh, thanks, thanks. Oh, I give you thanks for all. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Amen. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Amen. Enjoy as the ladies bring you a special song entitled "He Leadeth Me."
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand, he leadeth me.
Sometimes mid scenes or deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me.
And Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine,
nor ever murmur nor repine,
content whatever Lord I see,
still 'tis my God that leadeth me.
And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, when even death's cold wave I will not believe, since God through Jordan leadeth me.
He leadeth me, he leadeth me.
By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by
his hand, he leadeth me. For by his hand, he leadeth me. For by his hand, he leadeth me.
Well, I think am I coming through? No, no, yes, okay. All right, sometimes you got to recharge your batteries. Amen. Thank you to the Finney sisters. Let's give the Lord a hand and give them another hand of appreciation this morning. Amen. And choir, thank you, choir. Thank you, Lori and choir. One of my favorite songs of all time, just... to be able to worship the Lord and praise Him. This has been a good morning so far. And I promise we're going to move along today, so get ready. Put your seatbelt on. I'm taking a little break from our series on Ephesians, on the love that we've been doing, because it's Thanksgiving week. And started out on Monday, and I was going to stay with it. And then all of a sudden, as the week went on, I just sensed that God was taking me in this direction. So something a little different. The message today is the benefits of a grateful heart. The benefits. Did you know that if you are grateful, that it benefits you, as well as sharing that gratitude with others? Well, let's look at our theme today, our text theme is really 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but I want to read a pre-scripture before that. Psalm 103 verse 1 says this: bless the Lord, or praise the Lord. You could insert praise the Lord in there and it works just fine. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, all of me, inside, outside. We just, you know, not lip service. Bless the Lord with all that's within me. Bless His holy name. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Apostle Paul encourages us, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Did you ever pray for the will of God? God, what's your will? It's right here today for us to give thanks and to be thankful in all circumstances. It's God's will for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Now, each year on the fourth Thursday of the month of November, we Americans, we do something that the world around us doesn't do, is we have this national ritual of overeating. It's called Thanksgiving. We cook for a week, we eat dinner for hours, and have leftovers enough to pack and send home with our family and our friends. And it's a celebration of our harvest, a recognition of our blessings, and a demonstration of our love toward one another. And I believe that our national recognition of God's goodness in our lives, A, pleases Him when we do, and we honor Him around the table, and B, this holiday is actually good for us. You see, the truth is that gratitude is good for you and for me. Several research initiatives have been conducted over the last several decades, including the Gratitude Project from the University of California and the Project Gratitude from Baptist Health Foundation. And in one such study, researchers divided individuals into three groups. One group of participants practiced daily gratitude exercises by listing every day for a while the things that they were grateful for. They reported higher levels of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, optimism, and energy, and less depression and stress than the control group reported, the second group. They also reported being much happier than the group that was directed to keep a daily journal of all the bad things that happened to them. You see, researchers determined that the practice of gratitude benefits the general population, regardless of whether it's faith people or the lack of faith people. Just people being grateful will do those things that we mentioned in the first group for them. It'll increase so much goodness within us. and it increases a sense of well-being and creates positive social effects from just counting your blessings. Do you think God knows what He's doing when He tells us in the Bible to be a certain way or to act a certain way? Sure He does. So truly, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, and it's really a key to our personal happiness. If you need some happiness and some joy today, you want to just begin to look for things to give thanks to and for. Now, we usually think happiness is conditional. It's based on the circumstances. My day's going well, I'm happy. My day's not going well, I'm not so happy. That's how we think. And certainly, circumstances can play a part in it. Okay? Circumstances can work in that in some degree. But I'd like to make the point or argue this morning that 90% of whether we're contented people has to do with our attitude toward our circumstances, not the circumstance. It's attitude. John Maxwell, who was a pastor out in California, and he's written so many books, and he's a focused speaker and a leader, and he helps people build their leadership skills. He said that attitude will determine your altitude. That's his statement. Attitude determines altitude, and that is so true. In fact, imagine, for example, let me make a point with this. Here's the scenario. You are having a Book of Job moment. Everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? You've read the Book of Job, and you know Job's life. He had a great life, and then everything imploded. Suddenly, you're told that you've lost your wealth in the stock market crash. You've lost all your family in a tragic accident. You've lost your job in the corporate takeover, for those of you that are still working. And then your doctor calls in with a devastating health report, and your mother-in-law shows up at the door with her luggage and with the news that she just ran over your dog in the driveway. I imagine you'd be quite unhappy with all that happening, a Job moment. But then all of a sudden somebody shouts out, "Gotcha!" Just kidding, none of that's true. I believe what we would do is we'd take a deep breath. We might be a little angry at them tormenting us like that for a moment, but then we would become extremely happy that none of that happened to us. The fact is, you're the same in the same circumstances that you were before, but your attitude changed when you realized that those things weren't there. I want you to look at with me just quickly this morning three benefits to living a life with a grateful heart. Number one, having gratitude in your heart, being grateful, is the doorway to peace. We all need peace in our lives. We live in a world that's lacking peace. It struggles. We watch the news. We read. We have our apps on our phone. And man, we look around and peace is just so absent everywhere. And gratitude is the doorway to peace. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The Word of God. God is saying, if you want to have peace, then be a grateful person. Begin to express thanksgiving on a daily basis. Now, I want you to notice, keep that verse up for a moment, Tammy, and I want you to notice that "do not be anxious," and between that and having the peace of God are the prayers with thanksgiving. Don't be anxious. Have peace. I want you to have peace, but pray with a heart of thanksgiving. The way that you move from place of worry to place of peace is through thanksgiving. All right, so thanksgiving brings peace. The second thing is it's a defense against spiritual decline. Christian Missionary Alliance pastor and author A.W. Tozer, some of you know him, you've read some of his works. He is quoted as saying, "No man suddenly goes base." No man, no human, no person suddenly goes base. In other words, what he's saying there is a person doesn't walk intimately with God one day and then suddenly wake up the next, fall into the depths of sin, and they don't know where God is at. No man suddenly goes from hot with God to cold, and where is God? There's always a gradual erosion of moral values and a slow spiritual slippage that takes place. We say, well, how does that happen like that? Romans chapter 1, verse 21 tells us. It says, for although they knew God, okay, they knew Him, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. So people that don't give thanks, that don't offer thanks to God, are in danger of this verse becoming a reality in their lives. Although they knew God. We're not talking about heathens. We're not talking about people never heard the name of Jesus. They knew God. They had a relationship, but they stopped glorifying Him. They stopped giving Him thanks. And something happened in a process of time in their thinking, and the foolishness of their hearts became dark. That's how that works. So gratitude's a defense against spiritual decline according to the Word of God. Number three, it deepens our connection, our relationship to Jesus. You want to know Jesus a little better? Is that one of your desires, one of your heart string desires? Is I want to know You more, Lord. Give gratitude to God. Let me share a short story as a point of scripture for that. It's found in Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 19. I'm going to just paraphrase it for sake of time. It's the story of the 10 lepers. You've read through that probably before many times. I think last Thanksgiving I preached Be the One, and it was on this whole passage. But I want to make just a point with this passage this morning. You see, giving thanks brings us into a closeness. It develops the relationship. It warms it up. It draws us into the Lord when we give thanks. We know the story that Jesus was walking one day on His way to Jerusalem, and He was out in the countryside, and He was between the Judea Galilee and Samaria. And there was this little village, and as on the outskirts of the village, as Jesus was on His way in, these 10 lepers began to cry out to Him. You know the story. I won't get into what the lepers, you know, they were ostracized and they couldn't be around people. They couldn't live with their families. Once they were determined to have leprosy, they were outcast for the rest of their lives because there was no cure for leprosy. And so they could hang together. Lepers could only get fellowship with other lepers. Couldn't be around. If somebody was coming down the path, they'd have to get off of the path and scream out loud, "Unclean! I'm unclean!" Meaning, get away from me. Stay away so you don't get leprosy. Can you imagine living a life like that? Imagine the pain in your heart and the emotions that go with that. And so here comes Jesus, and they saw Him, and they must have heard about Him and known of Him, because instead of yelling unclean, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy. Master, have pity. Have mercy upon us." And so Jesus stopped, and He went over to where they were and moved into their space and did something that most people wouldn't do because they were afraid they'd get leprosy. And He began to speak to them, and He said to them, "I want you guys to turn around, and I want you to go find the priest in the village and show yourself to the priest, because that's how you were proved that you were freed or cured. If you were one that somehow you overcame leprosy, the priest was more like the medical doctor of the day, and they would have to sign you off and say you are cured. Go back into society again. Go back to your family." And so here they are crying out for pity, and Jesus' heart was moved with compassion. And in that cry, Jesus heard the pain of the hearts of these 10 men stricken with leprosy. He heard not only their physical pain, but their emotional pain. He heard the pain of humiliation. He heard the pain of loneliness and rejection. He heard and He said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And so off they went in faith, faltering but hopeful. And as they trudged along, as they were moving along, trusting the words of Christ, the Bible says that instantly they began to get clean from the leprosy. They were being healed as they walked toward the village and the priest. And the 10 men, these outcasts that were shuffling along and moaning in pain and walking with damaged feet, one of them suddenly says, "My hands, look at my hands." And all of a sudden his hands are covered with pink, healthy skin. The next one says, "Same here. And I don't hurt anymore." They begin to hug each other, and they throw off their old torn, nasty coats, and they unwrap the filthy bandages, and they sprint toward the town toward the priest, and then on to their waiting families and restored lives. 9 did that, but the one came back. One came back, he whirled around and he went in the other direction and he ran back to Jesus and he fell at His feet and he was weeping with gratitude for His miracle. He was so thankful. You see, 10 were rescued, but only one ran toward the rescuer with a thankful heart. Only one connected with Jesus. The rest of those got the answer they needed for the day, for the rest of their physical lives on earth. This man found eternal life through Jesus Christ that day, and you will meet him one day in heaven. Because he came back and he worshiped Jesus and he acknowledged Christ as Lord and he became with a thankful heart. And the Bible says that Jesus said to him, "Man, stand up. Your faith has healed you." Now that word for faith has healed you, some translations translate it this way, and it can go both ways. Your faith has made you whole. Another version says your faith has saved you. And the content of what's in that is that he was being saved, he was being restored, he was given eternal life that day, he was made right with God, just as Jesus had taken his disciples and brought them in, and they were in a place prior to the cross where they believed on him, and like Abraham, it was counted unto them as righteousness. That leper, who's no longer a leper, is in heaven rejoicing today. You see, when you say thank you, you're really saying to the Lord, "Lord, I realize that I'm nothing without you. That all that I have and all that I hope to become is because of your gracious hand. And I recognize, Lord, that you're my source of strength. You're my source of hope. You're my source of provision, my source of power, my source of joy, my source of peace, my source of life." So as we enter this week of celebrating a day of thanksgiving with family and friends, my encouragement to you today is to begin to look for opportunities to express love and thanksgiving and gratitude to the Lord. Don't wait till Thursday and say, "Well, this is my day to do it." This has got to be something that we Christians, we Nettles Island people, do on a daily basis. And why not start today? In fact, I believe we have started today with the worship and the praise, and you know, we just carried in, some of you do this already. You can be thankful for almost anything. A pastor that I know years ago, when he was first starting out, a young man, young pastor, went through a very difficult season in his life. It was early in his marriage, and he was struggling with the reality of a new baby on a part-time minister's salary. He even took on part-time odd jobs just to help to bring in a few extra dollars, and it seemed like it would never make the end would never be met. You know, the end doesn't meet the need. And so one afternoon, as he was feeling really beaten down, he was in his apartment, he was walking around, and he was crying out to God in his frustration. And all of a sudden, he sensed the presence and the Spirit of God come into that little apartment. He was there by himself. Wife was out with the baby. And he was just having a bad day. Didn't feel like really praising God. But as he was sharing that, he felt the presence of God come in. And he felt like the Lord said to him, "I want you to look around. Walk around the apartment. Look at the things that you have. Look at your sofa. Look at the spoons in the drawer and the lamps and the pillows and the bedroom set." And after each one, he felt the Lord say to him, "Where'd you get all that?" This pastor responded, "Well, it was a gift. It came to me. Someone was given to us." And on and on. And the young pastor went around the apartment, handling each item and feeling a surge of gratitude for the blessings of God and the provision that God had made in his family through the people that God had placed around him. And suddenly there was an attitude shift, recognition that God had his back. And even though the circumstances had not yet changed, gratitude moved the pastor from feeling downcast to feeling blessed. He began to count his blessings, name them one by one. That works. We all have so much to be thankful for. If you own a Bible, if you have a Bible in your hand, or you have an app so you didn't bring your Bible, but you've got a Bible at home, you're blessed, because one-third of the world doesn't have access to the Word of God. If you can read your Bible, you're blessed. 86% of the world's population is illiterate. If you have a roof over your head, you're blessed. If you have $20 in your pocket, if you ate today or will eat today, then you're blessed. I close with Psalm 103 that says, "Bless or give thanks to. Give thanks to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his acts of kindness, all of his benefits. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He saves my life from the grave. He crowns me with loving kindness and mercy, and he fills my years with good things. We serve a good God, church. We serve an amazing God, church, and we have so much this morning to be thankful for. When we realize that we can be thankful for almost anything, it really comes down to perspective. It's an intentional remembrance and looking for new opportunities in our lives to be grateful. There are so many benefits to you and to me for living a life with a grateful heart. I want us to be that kind of a church and people. It's amazing what God will do when we just start saying thank you. I thank you. We look at the glass as half full and not half empty. And we know that God is a faithful God. Look, forget not all his benefits, all his blessings. He gives us so much good. He's so kind. He forgives. He heals. He restores. He saves us, keeps us from hell. He saves our life from the grave, from hell. And he crowns us with loving kindness, and he fills our lives with good things. Would you stand with me? And I want us to sing this song before we pray and dismiss today. Give thanks with a grateful heart. If you know it, sing it with all your heart. If you don't know it, sing it with all your heart. It won't matter. The person next to you won't mind if you're on key or off, or if you got the notes or the tempo just right. But this is going to be our prayer this morning as we close this service and head into Thanksgiving. We're going to give thanks with a grateful heart. So let's sing it together. With a grateful heart, hallelujah, Lord. Lord, that's our theme this week, and hopefully from this day on that we will be people that will look at what you're going to do, even though we may be going through the valley of the shadow of death or a dark time, that we will be people that will look up and will know that our Lord is our shepherd, and he's caring for us, and he's leading us, and there's so much to be thankful for. God, help us today to have a heart change, an attitude change. Lord, may we as people let the weak say, I'm strong by faith because the strength will come in. Let the poor say, I'm rich because the richness of God will begin to come in as we operate in faith with hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving. Father, I praise you for this congregation. I thank you for every family that's here today. Lord, I pray blessing upon them this week. I pray that you would watch over and protect and move in their lives and move mountains out of the way and lift up and raise up valleys that they would walk on level paths, oh God, this week. But in the meantime, while you're doing that, let us be people that would say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to love on you. I just want to give you glory and honor, and I want to bless your holy name. Father, as we do that, we know that the benefits will come. We thank you in advance for the peace that passes understanding. We thank you, Lord, that it will keep us walking closer to you, and that it will, even as we learned that last point, will draw us into a place where we even know you better and know you more, and where we receive the greater blessing, the eternal blessings of God in our lives. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. As we close out today, would you do one more thing? Would you sing with me the doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow"? Would you sing that with all of your heart? And God bless you. When we're done, we're dismissed. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.